We're in the book of Ephesians, Roll Up the Rim series, and we've been talking about a few things over the last few weeks. So we first talked about our position in Christ, that we are now in Him, that when God looks at us, He sees Jesus. He doesn't see us in our sinful selves, but He sees us now as redeemed, set free, powerful, in Him. We're in Jesus, where it's our position now. And then we talked about the fact that we have a superior Savior. Jesus is the best there is. There is no God like our God, period. There's only one way, Jesus, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him, right? So there's not many ways to God. There's not many salvations. There's one, and it's superior. Like, we know, one of the things about our Jesus is that He's King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. We know that we don't have to earn our way to Him. He paid the price in full. He took care of it. He took care of it all. And then we know, we talked about our great salvation last week and how powerful it is that we don't have to earn it, that we could just receive it, that this is nothing that we can earn. It is ours. It's given as a gift because we can't earn it. We can't. So this is all the struggle people have. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy, blah, 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 right? Worthy. You know, how many of you have ever thought that? Have you ever tried to crack a deal with God, right? If you do this for me, I promise you, I'll read your Bible every day. I'll pray every day. I'll have a better relationship because we're trying to earn that, but it's free. So just receive it. Take the pressure off. Fall in love with Jesus. Be changed from the inside out. That's what we talked about last week. Allow yourself to be changed. So today we're going to move on. After verse 10 of chapter 2, Paul sort of shifts gears and starts talking about the community into which you are set and what that means to us. So let's read, starting at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, and we're going to read through to verse 22. It says, "But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you were outsiders to God's ways and had no idea of any of this, didn't know the first thing about the way God works, hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. Hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large." This was a group of people that were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And God had revealed Himself to the Jews in that time, but not to the Gentiles. This was a Gentile church, and they'd come to Jesus. And Paul's reminding them, you have no spiritual ancestry before you found Jesus. You had no spiritual clue before you found Jesus. You were outsiders. And he's inviting them in. He says, "Now because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you were once out of it altogether. You who were once out of it altogether are in on everything. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsider and Jewish insider. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other. Every once in a while, you're just like, and I just slow down. So, both non-Jewish outsider and Jewish insider. He tore down the wall that we used to keep. He tore down. I can't get this sentence. Somebody help me. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repeated the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace. And that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you, outsiders, and peace to us, insiders. He treated us as equals, and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He is using us all irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used his apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. I want to emphasize the word that Paul used. He said, you belong. You belong. We belong. It's a beautiful thing. It's really beautiful. There is a place for you. In God's kingdom, in God's family, in the body of Christ, there is a place for you. This thing, the church that you've been invited to be a part of, is not an institution or organization. It's a body. It's a family. It's a living organism, not a dead structure or hierarchy. We're not getting together to have a club here, people. Honestly, this is not why we're here. We're here because we're part of the body. We're part of the family. Every Sunday morning, we have a family reunion. It's great. It's great. We have been received into the family, adopted, chosen. These are really important words for us to understand. We are chosen by God. We're adopted into his family. We belong. What an awesome thought. We were strangers, separated from God by sin, and now we're not separate. We're now his children. We belong with him. We were separated from the people of God because of our bloodline, but not anymore. We've been invited in. We, as Gentiles, how many Jewish believers do we have here this morning? None. It's not a big Jewish community, Dundle and surrounding areas, right? But we were outsiders because we weren't Jews. The Jews were God's people, and Jesus came and he invited us in. Now we belong. We belong. Now we're a part. Even as important and dearly loved, we're an important and dearly loved part of God's family and his plan for eternity. See, he has a plan, and you're part of it. He's calling the world to himself, and you're part of it. He wants to reach your neighbor, your friend, your co-worker, and you're part of it. You've been called to be a part of it. We're called into a mission with God. We're no longer wandering exiles. We're not just sniffing around trying to find a way to be fulfilled and try to figure out how we can ever, get our sin problem figured out or our emptiness problem figured out. But now we belong. We're part of God's family. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. We're not like voyeurs looking through the window of God's house and hoping that we could see a nice, friendly family, but we're part of that family. We belong. We belong. We belong. It's really powerful. It's really powerful. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God's building a home, and he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. We're part of God's family. We have a family tree to swing from. It's a good thing. We all of a sudden, when we gave our hearts to Jesus, we have this whole Christian heritage that we belong to. Right? We have Abraham now as our father in the faith, right? When we read Paul, Paul's our brother. Right? He's speaking to us as family members. John, the apostle, our brother. We think down through the generations, through the ages of all the saints, all the people. These are our spiritual heritage, our lineage. These are our people. Right? These are not strangers. No, we're together. We're on the same team. We belong. It's powerful. We're not intruders. We have as much right to be here as anyone else. After 32 years of ministry, if there's one thing I've discovered, and I discover more every day, is that people want to belong. People want a place to go where people know them, where people care about them, where people ask the questions sometimes we don't want to answer, that will tell us the things sometimes we don't want to hear, but because they love us, we accept it. A lot of times, you know, like you grow up in a family, and the family is a good family, but sometimes you look at the family and you kind of feel like, well, maybe it's a little too close, right? Maybe it's a little too tight. Maybe I'd just like to breathe for a minute and get away from this family. And then you get away from it and you wish you could be back in it, right? Because there's something about belonging that's really, really powerful. Really gives us security, really makes us feel at peace. I think people would do almost anything to feel like they belong. I mean, I watch YouTube, like, and I know a lot of it's about money, but a lot of it is about being known, being accepted, being, you know, being that person everybody looks to, right? The beauty is that belonging is not a position you earn here. You belong. We all go through good times where we're fun to be around, and we all go through bad times where we're probably not that fun to be around. Like, I have a miserable day about once every 3 years. No, seriously, where I'm just really, really cranky, right? And I had one this week. I was, like, cranky. Like, most of you would, like, be like, who's this dude, right? And I was cranky, but I was here, and I was loved. And I still belong. You might have a cranky day. You might have a selfish day. But you belong. You belong. It's really important for us to know you belong. It's not something you have to clean up for. Right? How many of you here are perfect? Liar. No. No one's perfect. We're all messed up. Got to be honest. Right? But we belong. It's freely given and must be freely received. It has to be. We can love you all you want, but if you won't receive it, it's just false. It's waste. Receive. You are His and He is yours. Remember that old song? I am my beloved's and He is mine, and His banner over me is love. Right? And that's the truth. He is ours and we are His. It's beautiful. We belong to Him. He's our Father. We're His children. Jesus is our first brother. He's the big brother of the family. Right? We are sons of God and joint heirs with Jesus. It's not under review. You're not on probation. We're not going to think about this for 3 months and decide if we're keeping you or throwing you back out on the street. God's not thinking like that. He loves you. He's going to keep you. He wants you. You belong. You're in. You're accepted, and that's final. You are. We love you. God loves you. So Paul shifted gears here in these chapters. I want to shift gears because Ephesians wasn't written as a nice fairy tale story. Ephesians wasn't written as a feel good. Ephesians wasn't written so that these people would just be like, we've arrived. Us four, no more. Ephesians was written like every other book in the Bible with mission and purpose. And the purpose that Paul had in writing the book was to remind the people that even though they had received Christ, even though they had really transformed the city, there were still so many people that didn't know and didn't belong. And so, he wrote to the Ephesians. And so, I'm talking to you today. Because God has blessed us. I believe this. I believe this is a house filled with love. I believe this is a place of acceptance. I believe if you've been blessed, you've been blessed to be a blessing. You weren't blessed just to be blessed. God's not just blessing people to bless. God's blessing people because he's looking for some people who would be conduits of his love to a world that's desperately in need of him. So we belong. And if that truth has made any difference in our life, we need to share it. We need to let the people around the corner know. We need to let, you know, the people at the gas station know, the people at the coffee shop. The only coffee shop is Tim Hortons, but no, because we're doing Roll Up the Rim. So, but like, honestly, if it's made a difference, we need to share it. I believe that people can come to this church. I was counseling a couple. They're not from this church. And they said every time they walk into church, they feel like they have to wear a mask. And I know people feel like that. I know there's people here that have that feeling sometimes too. They feel like that they can't really show the real them. But I want to tell you here at this church, at Jubilee Community Church, in this body, you can be real and we're going to love you. I mean, sometimes we're going to correct you and help you with your bad attitude, right? We're gonna help you with sometimes your wrong thinking, but we're gonna do it in love, and we're gonna accept you. You don't have to hide. I don't want you to hide. I want you to be who you are. I want you to be set free. I want you to be delivered. I want you to be healed. I want you to share it with other people. I don't want you to ever feel like you can't tell us what's going on in your life. I don't care how messy your life is, honestly. I don't. I've seen lots of mess in my day. I've seen some really broken people. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. He is the only answer. And just be you. As a pastor of this church, I want you to feel like this is a family. And that you're loved and accepted here, and that you can enjoy everything that we are as a church, as a body, as a family. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to be part. I don't want any pew sitters here. I don't want anybody coming just because they think they got to tick the box. It's not what we're about. We're about doing life together. We're about worshiping God together. We're about falling down together and getting up together. We're about that. So you have to know that. You're not going to be thrown because, you know, you don't fit in. I also want you to be part of the heart of this house. The mission of this house. I want you to belong to that. The heart of this house is to share the love of God and the family of God with people who need him. People need Jesus. Maybe a lot of us have been born again for so long we forget how bad it is out there, but it's bad out there. People need the Lord. And we're called to reach them. God always blesses to be a blessing. He always is looking for a conduit of what he's given so he can pass his goodness on to others through us. If you hold on to everything yourself, it's not going to do you one bit of good. The joy in walking with the Lord is to share what he's given you with others. Always say this. I know Christians sometimes can be, some people could be Christians for years and years and be babies, immature people. But I always find this. If you find someone to walk with for a while who genuinely needs your help, like I think about Jeremiah and Melissa, right? Like they're a little older couple, but Jeremiah, you know, he was like not really that mature when he gave when he gave, you know, his heart to Melissa and then gave a baby, you know, to her, you know. But once you have a baby, changes everything, right, Jeremiah? All of a sudden, it's like you go from being 18 to 30 in a day. It's like responsibility grows you up. And I think it's the same as a Christian, as we have spiritual offspring, as we take responsibility for someone else, it grows us up. It matures us. It makes us stronger. A lot of times we feel like our life as Christians are unfulfilling because often we haven't taken the responsibility of caring for others, of walking with others for a while. When you walk with someone for a while, I'll tell you, it changes your life. And it's not easy. It's hard. Sometimes people really have big problems, and they need people to hold their hand for a while and tell them it's going to be okay. God's good. He loves you. It's going to be okay. And so, you know, that's the heart of this house, right? To share God's love with others. But being part of the family of God has been a blessing to you. Don't keep it to yourself, but share it with others. I've been inviting this lady to church. I've known her for years, and I've been inviting her for years. I thought she was going to be here this morning, but she bailed on me again. But I just, there's people I've been inviting and trying to bring because I believe this is what people need. I believe this with all my heart. We need to be bringers. I think it's really important for us to be intentional about building a church with a culture that's welcoming and warm, a place where people can enjoy each other and the presence of God. I fight for the culture in this church to be a culture of love. I do. If we have conflict in the church, most of the time I'll ask, how is this building relationships that build the kingdom of God? How is this moving the kingdom along? I think it's really important for us to think about that. Sometimes we want to be right. Sometimes we want to get our opinion across. Sometimes we want all that. But will we love people unconditionally first, above everything else? Because I read the Bible, I read 1 Corinthians, we were there this morning, and it says, faith, hope, love. These three things remain. And the greatest of these is faith. Right? It's hope? No, it's love. Love is the greatest thing. It's the thing God demonstrated toward us. It's the thing we need to demonstrate toward each other and others. It's what we need to do. This place is intentionally being built as a place where we can come and learn from the Word of God in practical ways that would empower us to be His hands and feet to our community, to be real to the community so they can see Jesus. A place of healing for the broken and a home for all of us. I want you to be healed. I do. I want that. If you're struggling emotionally, I want you to be able to be secure emotionally. If you're struggling with fear all the time, I want you to be free from fear. God wants that. That's what our mission as a church is, to help us all be healthy so we can be healthy out in the world and win people to Jesus. It's important. This scripture here is one of my favorite scriptures. I really believe it's part of our mission as a church. Father, it's Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home, and He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. In another version, it says that God, right, puts the lonely in families. That's what church is about. There's a desire in mankind to belong to something bigger than just them. I know this is a show that when I was a kid, if you watched it, you were probably going to hell. But it's a show that really, really demonstrates the power of belonging. And it's Cheers. So for those of you that are older, you know what Cheers is. For those of you who are younger, it was this bar where everybody hung out and everybody knew everybody and they were friends. But it was all about belonging, right? So the theme song for that show went like this. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everyone knows your name. It's really that simple. People that are looking for Jesus are looking for that. They hang out in bars and they do their thing there, but the answer really is the church. We should be that place where when people come in, they're not sitting alone. Like when we go in the cafe over here, we should have close friends in the church. And I'm not against people having close friends. I think it's really important. We have cliques, and I think cliques are cool as long as they don't exclude people, as long as they're drawing people in. But when we go out in the cafe is a place of connection. It's a place for when someone new comes in that somebody's going to be there and sit at the table with them and get to know them and ask them questions and find out who they are and when we're going to see them next and all that kind of stuff, you know. So this is Cheers for us. This is that place where people can come and get to know you and you get to know them. It's that simple. It's really that simple. We complicate things, but in reality, people just want to know that we care about them. Does that make sense? How many of you felt that way? I want people to care about me. I like going places. I like going to Tim Hortons in the morning. Because if I go to Tim Hortons in the morning, there's a few girls there when I go through the drive-thru. They know. As soon as I pull up, I start saying, yeah, whatever. I know what you want, right? Because they know me. And then I come up to the drive-thru window, hey, how's it going, right? And it's just, you're friends. It's a place to belong. I enjoy it. I like going somewhere where people recognize. I like going to my restaurant to go to, like, Chestnut Lane or to Pothos. And when I sit down, they go, you want the regular? Yeah, I want the regular, right? Bacon and eggs over easy. Yeah, that's good. So I like that. And people like that. People like to be known. StatsCan reports a really high correlation between belonging and health. They did a study in 2005 of people over 12, and the study showed that Canadians who have a strong sense of belonging to the community in which they live have more positive feelings about the state of their physical and mental health. Nearly two-thirds of those who felt a very strong or somewhat strong sense of community belonging reported excellent or very good general health. In contrast, only half of those with a very weak sense of belonging view their general health as favorable as those with a strong sense of community belonging. So we know God wants you to belong. This is what Ephesians has told us, right? We're in Christ. We have a superior Savior. We have a great salvation, and we belong, right? We know culture, right, wants to belong. We just saw that if you belong, you're probably healthier than if you don't belong. So God wants it. We need it. So let's be that to our community. Let's care about the people around us. The thing that's burning in my heart is the idea that the church can be a beautiful place for people to come. That it can be a reflection of God's goodness and God's glory. And that people can see God when they see us. I want people to come in this building and know they met with God. I want the people to come in this building and know all the rumors they've heard about church being like kind of stuck up and kind of like looking down on everybody and judgmental and all those things. I want them to have one time in the cafe and know that that was a lie, and a horrible lie about the church. I want them to know that that's not Jesus' church. It's not the way God meant it to be. I believe that church should be irresistible. That the bride of Christ is to be a foreshadowing of heaven right here on earth. I think when we come here together, we should have a break from the world today, right? I think we should just be able to take our breath and just relax and be in Christ together. Enjoy that, the fullness of that togetherness in the presence of God. I think that's possible. I think we do experience that a lot of times. So I just think we should expect it, not just have it happen by accident. So I just have a few points, two points. I'm going to go pretty quick here. But so I kind of go over these points every once in a while because it's really important as our mission for the church. So some of you have heard some of this already. I just want you to listen again and remember and grow from it. So the first thing I want you to think about is this. Somebody prepared a place for me, and now I want to prepare a place for someone else. So this church has been around for quite a long time. Not as long as most churches. Actually, we're a baby church. We've only been around since 1978. Most churches have been around for eons. But since the beginning in 1978, I've been here. I remember when the church originally started at the in my parents' home. It was called Cambro Community Fellowship. Done a few name changes over the years. Pretty soon we're going to change it to McDonald's. No. I remember after that, we kind of grew out of the living room. We moved to the Cambro Hall. And Cambro Hall is a little nicer now than it was back then. But back then, the hall was just this big, noisy, clanky thing. I don't remember if you guys, if you're a little older, you'll remember the wooden chairs, like the thin plywood chairs. And, like, they would start peeling. And if you were a kid, you'd help them peel, right? Like, you'd be peeling the layers off them. And so every time you moved in that hall, it was like, now if somebody makes you, like, a cough, everybody's like, what was that? You know? But it was so noisy. And it was like, and then there was a kitchen, and that's where the kids met. And there was one of those roll-down doors in between the kitchen. And when they talked over there, you talk, so you'd be hearing the Sunday school lesson, and you'd be hearing the sermon at the same time. It was like, fun. It was weird, but it was like that was the beginning, right? So I still remember. Then we moved here to this building. We rented this gym from the school, and we had one of the classrooms for our kids' ministry. So this was one of our first buildings we were in. And I remember in 1979, going into 80, we had our New Year's message, and it was like this message was called Decade of Destiny, the 80s. For Jubilee, it was to a large degree, it was a big decade for us. We were involved in church planting pretty heavily, and there was 10 churches in the Niagara Peninsula that were kind of birthed out of this church. One still exists still today is Wellspring in Welland. It was a church plant for us. There's another one up in Kitchener-Waterloo area where it's still going. But there's a few around, but it was 10 churches sort of planted out of here in the first 12 years of our church. It was a great time. It was crazy. Like, people were coming in here. Like, honestly, back in those days, you would never leave your purse sitting on a chair, honestly, because it was not a safe place. People were coming in here that were, like, on drugs, people that were alcoholics, people that were arrested because, you know, they murdered their kids. Like, it was a crazy place, and people were being saved, and people's lives were being transformed. It was, like, it was crazy. And people gave. Like, every Sunday when we came here, Bob wasn't here yet, Bob and Lorraine, at first. But our pastor borrowed his station wagon, or his brother, was it your brother borrowed his station wagon, and we had this big wooden pulpit. It was like an old Pontiac Parisienne station wagon, and they strapped this pulpit to the top and all the sound equipment in, and every Sunday we had to set everything up and tear everything down. It was like 150 degrees in here in the summer. You'd be like sweating. But you just couldn't wait to get to church because you never, never knew what was going to happen. It was beautiful. It's the beginning of it. And people gave. And so we gave. And I think in the early 80s, maybe 80 or 81, we bought the church in Cambro. And when we bought that church, it was like it had been broken in and vandalized. And it was a party place. So, like, you know, there was beer spilled all over the old pews, and so it was all sticky and smelly, and it was a mess. So we cleaned it up really, you know, quick, and I think the first Sunday we were there, back in those days, everybody wore a suit, right? Everybody wore a suit and tie to church because that's what you did back then, and so we cleaned up all these pews the best we could, and the first Sunday was kind of warm, and everybody sat on these pews, and when they got up, it was like, oh, it sounded like Velcro. Because everybody was stuck to them. It was like, it was funny. Like, it was fun. And we started in the church there. It was an old Baptist church. And we met at the front. The kids met at the back. And then we grew out of that. We grew from really start to probably 250 people in the first 3 or 4 years. We And we planted, right, a bunch of churches. And this church went through some pretty serious trouble. And we went down to about 18 people. We could hardly pay the bills to keep the doors open. But the people that were here were faithful and kept giving, kept pouring out, kept. And then we fixed that old building, and then we built additions to it. We had so many additions to that building. I remember when my kids were little, they used to play hide and seek after church. And there were so many little passageways through that church. And then, like, I didn't think any kid would think of this, because under the old building was a dirty old crawl space. And behind the underneath the back pew in the church, there was a little trap door. Well, I found out my kids had been hanging out under the church after church, hiding in that horrible, like, ugh, I hate spiders. They're just crawling with spiders. So they'd be back under there. And anyway, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I don't even know why I went there. But anyway, we built the church, and then, you know, we started a school, and we bought this building, and we just kept growing, and we kept reaching out. We gave, like, over the years, probably, I had figured it out once. I don't want to throw a number, but we've given, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars away to missions. We've supported people around the world. There's people that are going to meet you in heaven because you're part of this house, and they're going to say thank you because you gave. Because they know Jesus, because you were generous, you know? And everybody prepared a place for the next one coming. And because of that, today we have a really beautiful building. Like, we have some really great technology. We have those comfortable chairs. Pastors borrow these chairs from me after they've been here so they can go talk their churches into buying them because they're so comfortable, right? We've got it made here. We have everything. Like, there's no debt on this building. We're going to put a new boiler in the building this year because ours is 60 years old. It's ready, you know, it's ready for its goodbye little ride now. But that's going to be a big expense. But we will have the money to do that. We'll do it cash. We're trusting God this year at our His House offering. We're going to bring in enough to cover that, and I know we will. God always provides. Because we're preparing a place for the next people. And that's what we have to remember. Somebody paid for the chair you're sitting in, not just with money, but with faithfulness, with hard work, with all that. You know, like there's a bunch of people, right, that come every week as volunteers and work a day a week. I think we probably have 8 or 9 people that every week come and give a day a week. Plus we have people that volunteer every Sunday. That volunteer, like, you know, I think about the worship team. They come here every Sunday morning. They're here early, and they prepare a place for you. I think about the kids ministry people. They work and they prepare a place. Our guest services, our people, you know. So everybody's been working at preparing a place for you, and I believe our best days are still ahead. And I believe that God's preparing a place for many more. So just, you know, as we grow, think about all the things I've talked about, that we need to prepare a place and intentionally create a place so that people can no longer be wandering exiles, but they can belong, that this kingdom of faith could be their home country, that they'll not be strangers and outsiders, but they'll have a place to belong. And when they walk through the door, make them feel like they belong. I think you're really good at that. I think you guys are good at that. I'm really proud to be part of this place. I love you. It's my passion to make a place for people. It's why I get out of bed in the morning. It's what my heart beats for. I believe that's what God's heart beats for others. Second thing, I'm going to be done here very shortly. This place, this house, this church, Jubilee, is one of a kind to me. It's where I call home. Where I'm at home. I often think, because I watch pastors retire over the years, and most pastors can't retire in their home church because the next young buck that comes along can't really deal with looking at them in the front row cheering them on, and they feel like insecure about that. And I think about my whole life, I've been here, right? I've been here since 1978 building this church, and when I retire, I want to belong here still. I want this to be my home because it's my home. It's everything I know. You people are my family, you know, so I want to belong. and I want a place to belong. And this place is unique. This is what David said. One day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. The Greek island beaches sound good to me. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the palace of sin. I believe that. I believe that. This is what Charlotte Scanlon is, the daughter of a pastor who pastored one of the largest churches in England. She said this, I've gone from a child in the house to an adult, from a spectator to a server, from a visitor to a dweller, from a follower to a leader, and from a consumer to someone totally consumed. I'm consumed with the house of God. This is my life. This is my call. But I'm the pastor. It doesn't make it only my call. It's your call too. It's your house. You're planted. I believe this. I think we all start out the same in church. We come in. We take a look around. We see if we can fit. We see if there's something for the kids. We see if there's something for the youth. We see if there's something that can fill and meet my needs. Can this place make my life better? Right? And we try it out, see how it fits, and we progress to be a place where we call it home. I really believe that it's important for us to find a church to call our own. I believe that God calls people to churches. I honestly do. I believe as much as I'm called here to be a pastor, I believe people are called here and set here just like me. I don't believe that we're just supposed to go find a place that just because it's next door to us, it's the place I believe God has a place, a home, a family for you as believers. I believe we need to find that. A place where we can invest our life in building the kingdom of God. We need to have a place to use our gifts and abilities, a place to develop our character, a place to die to self and live for the cause, a place to genuinely care for others, no matter what color, social status, or personality problems they have. This is what Psalm 92 says. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. Ta-da! I think that many people go to church and they stay as potted plants, easy to move. I'm going to stay in my pot, and if I get bothered, I'm going to find a new location. And potted plants look really pretty for a while. We have this beautiful lily out in the hall, and it's been in this pot for over a year. And it's starting to, like, outgrow the pot, and it's not looking so good anymore. God has called us to be planted in the house of God. It means to put your roots down in soil and stay. I told you guys a few weeks ago about this little tree I had that was, like, looked dead. It was because it was in a pot too long. And as soon as I put it in the ground, it grew leaves and it flourished. And that's what we need to do. Become part of the church. We need to belong. We need to commit. We need to fit in. We need to dig in and become part of it. Then we'll flourish and, right, and be fat. Praise Jesus. The word fat there isn't really fat like me. It's like fat like healthy. It's good. It's good for you, right? I'm just making a joke. Don't have to get all awkward now. No, don't laugh. He's fat, but don't laugh. No. It's not enough to stay a spectator, a visitor, a follower, or a consumer. It is important that we become a server, a dweller, a leader, and someone who's totally consumed in order to reap the full benefit of our walk with God. We got to be all in. And that's not for the church, it's for Jesus and for His cause. I've seen people get all excited about the Lord. Like, we got conference coming up next weekend. And some of you are going to come into the conference kind of like, you know, lukewarm, and you're going to come out fiery hot. And if you don't keep fanning the flame, if you don't keep planted, if you don't keep serving, if you don't keep looking for someone to walk with, you'll cool down again. It's really important for us to stay on mission with God. It's really important for us to grow and help others grow. It's really important for us to love people who can't love us back. It's important for people to help us that can't help, for us to help someone who can't help us. It's important for us to go to people that might not be in with our social standing and walk with them and help them and grow with them. Even though we might not be exactly the same, we can help. And we can love and we can grow. Fran, the story about Gary, her friend, right? Fran, Gary can't help Fran. There's nothing that Gary could do for Fran, but Fran gives her life and cares about the man and takes care of him every chance she gets. Because that's what we do as believers. We care for people and we love them in spite of who they are or what we think of them. So in a healthy home, right, in church, we all have a part to play. We all have our chores to do and our love to give. And so it should be. That's the way the church should be. We should all belong. We should all help others to belong. And we should all show the love of Jesus to people. So, Lord,